don't have a lot to add to what Bob said. The whole thing. Oh, I get it. Okay. Okay, so a couple of quick announcements regarding La Casa de Maria. That's next Wednesday from 9:30 to 4:30. It's a retreat day on the topic of hope, spirituality of hope. So if you're interested, you can sign up online at lacasademaria.org. Also, I gave a one-day retreat at Spirit Rock Buddhist Retreat Center on our book from last time, which was How to Be an Adult in Faith and Spirituality. So this is the, I passed around the flyer about it. So if you're interested, you can also order this online. I only have a few here, and I brought a few books. So during the break, if you're interested, it will be out at the table there. And I think that's it on announcements, other than regarding our reading in the book. If for next time, you can read the introduction and the first two chapters. So that'll take you to up to 45. And then we'll just do two chapters a week. Because there are eight chapters altogether. So for next week, it's intro. Chapter one is how a moment becomes momentum. And then how synchronicity touches us and our relationships. But today I'll be doing an overall picture of what synchronicity is about, and so that will touch on a lot of what's in introduction and chapter one. How many people don't have books? You want to keep your hands up, and then Bob will get a sense of, let's see, one.
I've got 6 or 7, so I'll order 10 more.
Okay. And if you have the original version of this, which was Unexpected Miracles, that would be about the same as this, so this is the upgrade of it. So if you have that one, you can use that one also. So our first question on this topic is the one that Bob brought up. Is life more than mere chance? Is everything that happens simply random and then we make something of it? Or does it come with a meaning and we simply recognize it? And of course, I will have no answer to that question. because there is no evidence either way. But synchronicity seems to be the one experience in life that gets us pretty close to a sense that there's more going on than just what happens in our own minds. So that's really what our topic is about, and there couldn't be a more fascinating topic to go into. As you know, it was Carl Jung who came up with this word and this concept, so we'll say a little about how this all came together. Let's begin with the word itself. Of course, the C-H-R-O-N means time, and then the S-Y-N means with or together, or basically how time somehow comes together with our realizations or experiences. Synchronicity is the meaningful coincidence of two events that are not happening because one thing caused the other, and also don't seem to be based on simple chance. So something will happen that seems to come through with a meaning that we can't explain through cause and effect. Has everybody in here had this kind of experience? Okay, so it seems undeniable, especially when we look back over our lives and we realize that we had certain plans or ideas as to how life would go. For instance, think of yourself as a senior in high school, close to your graduation. Maybe you had a certain sense of what your life was going to be like. Then events occurred beyond your control that led you in a different direction. And since this whole universe is based on some type of an evolutionary thrust, everything is moving in an evolutionary way. Evolution, evolving toward what? Evolving toward more consciousness, more clarity, more connection. And sometimes when we look at the things that have happened to us, we realize that they are all moving us in the direction of seeing more clearly what life is about and coming up with a wisdom about it and ultimately learning what love is really about. So from the spiritual point of view, synchronicity moves us in that direction. So it's kind of evidence that life is not just a series of random events, but an expression of what Jung calls, or this is where he came up with the idea, an inner underlying order in the universe that goes on without our trying to make it happen, and that it somehow is connected to who we are as people. This led him to the realization that your mind is not contained in your cranium. Your mind is not like Jay Leno on the television. It's not like your mind is inside your body. He says that because of synchronicity, since events come together that move us in a certain direction, it must be that our mind is bigger than our body and that it extends out into the whole universe. This is a fascinating and exciting possibility, isn't it? Excuse me one sec. Bob, there's a noise or some type of feedback. There's also a deeper order in the sound system than we have control over.
The problem is we have too many people here, and I can't get it to everybody in the back to hear, so I just turn the volume up.
Okay. Can you hear now?
Yes.
You can. Okay, I think they can hear this way. What does this deeper order mean? It's that our life happens within some type of meaningful structure, and even that the universe focuses on each one of us to move us along towards a particular purpose. What is this purpose? It's to have more wisdom, more love than we might get to on our own using just our own ego. And in Buddhism, this is called spiritual awakening or enlightenment. when such meaningful coincidences happen, it seems to give conclusive evidence that there's a governing dynamic underlying the whole of human existence. And Jung says it even explains all of history, and we don't know what the name of this is. He called it, he used the phrase that he got from medieval times, one, there's only one world. And this world is not just the planet that we're on, but it's all of us and all beings, and everything that exists. It's just all one single reality. It's not as if we're looking at the world. It's that we're all part of one enormous movement that is happening. Or another way of saying it is, the hero journey story that we all know about and that describes our personal life is the same story that the universe has. It too is on a journey, moving from an original place through a series of struggles to a enlightened position or some type of a gift. So let's just say a word about this heroic journey archetype. Since every culture, all through history, has had a one common story, what is this story? It's the story of a person, someone, who begins at home, leaves home, so that's step one, leaving home. Step two is going through a series of struggles. We're all familiar with this one. And after going through this series of struggles, you make some type of discovery or find a gift, or sometimes it's sometimes the story is you find a mate, like a soulmate, like the hero is goes through things and then he finds the princess that he will live happily ever after with. Find some type of a gift, and that this gift, or it could be a realization about the meaning of life, he can take back home and tell everybody about the larger world than the one that was contained in the original home space. So let's use a simple example.
And before I give the example, I'll mention one more thing.
As you're going through the series of struggles, you meet up with two kinds of people. One are those who assist you on your path so you can reach your goal. And others afflict you, make it harder for you to get where you're going. So that would be the dark side or shadow side of the assisting. So assisting forces would be all the people who helped you find yourself. Afflicting forces were all the people who seem to get in the way of that, try to fit you into their own mold, not let you or want you to be the full free being that you are. And If you were to look at this using the traditional religious personifications of the forces, then the assisting forces are the guardian angels, and the afflicting forces are the demons who tempt us away from our goal. So it even carries over into how people have looked at this spiritually. Now, let's use a simple example. So in the story of the Wizard of Oz, for instance, since everybody's seen that film or read the book, she begins at home. She leaves home because she wants to protect the dog that's in danger. She doesn't leave fully because the wizard convinces her to go back home. He says, your aunt needs you. So she's still tied to her home. She's not ready for the journey. She goes back, and the universe, since we're talking about how the larger world works with us and is an extension of ourselves, the universe creates a tornado, cyclone, which lifts her up and throws her into the next part of the journey, which is where she's going to go through the struggle. So sometimes we go on our own, and sometimes something forces us. Everybody following? Same in the story of in Star Wars. So Luke, it starts off at home with his aunt and uncle. They're killed. That leads him to leave home and start his journey. Now, when she goes through her series of struggles, she immediately meets up with the two forces. The assisting force from heaven is Glinda, the good witch. The afflicting force from hell is the evil witch. And then she meets up with the three friends. They're the human assisting forces. And she meets up with the army that the evil witch has. Those are the afflicting forces. And the wizard stands in the middle. He's both assisting and afflicting. So she goes through this series of events, and she finds the gift. What is the gift? The gift is the realization that the power to lead her life and take care of what she loves is in herself. So I didn't have to go somewhere with the dog. I could have taken care of the dog myself. And that's the moment at which Glinda says, but you've had the power all along. When she realizes that, she gets it that you always had the gift, but you still have to go through a series of events and meet up with all kinds of crises and experiences and people to find out what you had to begin with. Because she could, when Glinda said, but you've had the power all along, she could have said, well, then why did you tell me to go on the Yellow Brick Road? Why didn't you tell me this right at the beginning? But, of course, I think she said something like that, and Glinda said, because you wouldn't have believed it then. We won't believe in the larger powers that are present in our lives until we actually experience them kicking in. That's why she couldn't believe it at the beginning. Because you have to go through something. This reminds us of the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What he's saying is, if I get to walk through the dark valley, I will notice that I have an assisting force with me, but I'm going to have to walk through in order to find that out. So then she has the gift of I have the power all alone, and then the very last scene when it goes back to the sepia color, the black and white, that's when she's sitting up in bed, and she has the new realization, and her aunts and uncle are on either side. The three friends, who are farmhands really, come in and kneel beside her bed. The wizard comes to the window, so we have all the characters, but now as ordinary humans. And she says, she starts to tell them the story that we have just seen. And they say, oh, it was just a dream, dear. That's important, that when you come to this realization about the larger reality of who you are, other people won't believe it because they can't believe it unless they made the same journey.
Yeah.
This was our problem with religion, because they were teaching us, you know, oh, this is what it's all about, but we didn't have the experience of it.
Yeah.
We were just getting secondhand faith, not direct experience. So when she notices that they, this is an important moment, when she notices that they don't get it, she doesn't push it. She doesn't say, oh, yes, but there is. She just says, oh, this is the exact quote, but I'm here, and this is my room, and there's no place like home. When she says, she drops it, she doesn't try to convince them, she just says, I'm here, and this is my room. See, what she's doing is she's placing herself in the here and now reality. That's the central gift she received. Oh, all you have to do is be right here and now. You don't have to convince anybody. Let them have their own journey. And all that matters is I'm right here. And that this whole universe is the no place like home. So this is my room. This reminds me of the line by John Donne, the 18th century English poet. For love, all love of other sights controls and makes one little room and everywhere. Makes one little room and everywhere. That's what happened to her. This little room is the everywhere. Because I have the gift with me now. This same story is the one told all through the centuries in every culture. And that's why Joseph Campbell, who was the first to notice this, gave us the title of his book, The Hero with a Thousand Faces. So it's the one hero or heroine, but there are a thousand different versions of it. Our life is this same story. We began somewhere, and we did some kind of a move, and we met up with the people who helped us and harmed us, and we found something which we cherish, and it makes the whole story make sense. And the specific moments in which special things happened that helped us, those are the meaningful coincidences. That's the synchronicity. That's the subject of our book and of our discussions here. I want to give the exact quote that Jung uses because it's so helpful. Synchronicity is an intervention of grace. Because the real hero realizes, I didn't do it myself. Then the story would be just about the inflation of one's ego. what you realize is this was all grace. This was all a special gift that came to me that I'm so fortunate in having, and I have gratitude for it. And it came because of the fact that I said yes to leaving home. You have to just do that, and then the rest will kick in all by itself. If you stay tied to everything you originally learned, then you don't go anywhere. And I think all of us in here are people who have made this journey, and we have to watch out because some of us were so ingrained with our original religious beliefs that we feel guilty that we made a change of some kind. We think we broke off from our loyalty, but that isn't the case. What has actually happened is we made the journey that all humans are here to make. And when you realize the gift dimension of it, that's Gregory Baum's definition of grace, the gift dimension of life. When you realize the gift dimension, that's the moment at which the journey is complete. I want to give a simple example of how synchronicity works. Let's go back to the Wizard of Oz. While they're in the final scene in Oz, remember that there was a dirigible, a balloon, that was going to, the wizard was going to take Dorothy back to Kansas on this balloon. But he's kind of a bungler, so he messed things up and the balloon took off on its own. This meant that Dorothy didn't have her chance to go back to Kansas. She thought the only way to go back is on the balloon. So the reason that she didn't get on the balloon, this is the important part, is that the little dog saw a cat in the audience and where all the munchkins were. And he jumped out away from Dorothy, and she couldn't leave without him. So she went to get the dog, and while doing that, the balloon took off. Everybody follow? In other words, it was the dog who by jumping away from her, showed you're not ready to leave. And it's often an animal that helps us find the gift. So the fact that the dog did this and that she cared so much about the dog, she wouldn't leave it out, that placed her in the position. Now she's standing there with the three friends and she says, oh, now I'll never get home. And the Scarecrow says, well, you can stay here, Dorothy. We love you. And then she still wants to go home. And then you see the bubble coming from heaven. That's Glinda. And the Scarecrow says, here's someone who can help us. In other words, there's assisting force coming from the spiritual realm. And that's when she says, you had the power all along. That's the gift. You had the power all along. But she couldn't have gotten that unless the dog did what he did. Everybody follow? In fact, she couldn't have left even to begin with unless the dog was in trouble. So on both ends of the story, it's an animal that leads you there. And this is why Jung says, when you become truly spiritual, you'll start to dream about animals. An animal will appear in your life, either in dreams or in reality. And that little moment when the dog did what he did, that's what's meant by synchronicity. A meaningful coincidence of a apparently random event touched in with the moment of intuition and realization. And it couldn't have happened unless the event occurred. That's what led to her finding the great gift of a lifetime, which is you've had the power all along. The main realization that a patriarchal church does not want us to know. You have the power. Because what they want is, we have the power and we will give it to you if you obey. So part of our journey with our background, our traditional religious background, is to make this transition from, I need to get the power from them. Power to what? Power to access grace. Power to find wisdom. Power to know how to live one's life. Power to know what to believe. I need to get this from within. Listening to them, but not having to obey them blindly. Imagine having that as a wonderful thing happening to us. But I know it is happening to everybody in here. All right, so let's take our short break and then we will continue.